We want to continue the study that Chuck Volo started last week. Last week, we covered point A in the outline, and we're going to continue in that outline. You'll see our first outline number, a letter is B. Chuck Volo and Chuck Davies and I all talked about these things, but this really is Chuck Volo's outline. I've tweaked it a little bit, and I'm going to present it, but this really is Chuck Volo's outline, so we give we recognize his work in all this. To begin, though, I want us to think back on what we talked about last week and think, how much can you remember? So what are some of the biblical bases for an emphasis on personal ministry? And that's the majority of what we talked about last week, were the biblical bases for the emphasis on personal ministry. So what were some of those emphases? And maybe you just know them. You don't actually have to remember. This is just something you may know. Why do we focus on personal ministry in the church? Now, if Chuck Volo has to start answering, it'll be a little shameful. Okay, right. We're called to personal ministry. But so let's think about, what are some of the specifics about Scripture that calls us into that kind of personal ministry? What are some of the biblical scriptural bases that calls us into personal ministry one with another? Mike?
Love,
okay, so we're called to love one another. That's not a distant thing, that's an intimate thing, right? We're called into one another's life in love. What are some other things? Love is the big one, that's probably the biggest umbrella. We could put almost all of it under that, love. Excuse me? Right, so we need to be in each other's life to talk to one another, and we can't admonish one another unless we're in their lives to know one another and have that relationship. That's exactly right, David? Yes, well, that's like a one-on-one evangelism. You strengthen one another to be able to spread the gospel. That's certainly an aspect of this. We're called to go and spread the gospel. Okay, exhorting one another. So we hear a lot of that one another duties, right? So we have exhorting, we're admonishing, loving. Alan? Disciple one another. So that, just the idea, we saw that in the examples of Jesus and Paul, of drawing people in and investing their lives in one another. So we see those biblical reasons that this is important. We don't have a verse that says everyone in the body should be having a one-on-one relationship with somebody else in the Bible, in the body. We don't have that, but we do have a very clear call to love one another, to admonish and exhort one another, to stir one another up to love and good works, to have these relationships. And the point that we're trying to make is that you really can't do that. You can't do those one another things if you aren't investing and in a real personal way in those people with whom God has put you and called you, right? You can't do that at a distance. You can't have that loving, admonishing relationship at a distance. You have to be in one another's life. And this is a simple, but that's the biblical basis for this focus that we are encouraging. Now let's consider 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 26. This is a way to, as a biblical basis, you want to open your Bibles there to 1 Corinthians 12. Just take a few minutes to look at this. This is Paul talking to the Corinthian church, this local congregation, about being a body. And I want us to take that idea of being a body and see how that helps encourage us to have one another ministry. I'll read verses 14 through 26. And just listen to the language. And also listen, as you think about this language, he's talking to a specific congregation. He's not talking about the universal body of Christ, some guy in Africa and some guy over in Greece and some guy down in Italy. So he's one congregation. You in Corinth, you're the body. This is where God's put you. How are they to function? And listen to the intimate language of relationship. For the body is not one member, but many. There are many members in the body. For the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, is it not for this reason any the less a part of the body? And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body, is it not for this reason any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. And if they were all one member, if there were all one member, where would the body be? There would just be one eye or one hand or one ear. But now there are many members, but one body. Now skip down to verse 25. so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So just think of the language there. So there's several different pieces of language as far as the one body and how it functions. They have a hand, an eye, a nose, a foot, all doing different things, but all engaged. Now, you don't have a hand that's cut off and over there, and an eye that's plucked out and it's over there. No, they're all organically connected. They actually have relationship with one another. They're actually serving one another and having those, they're serving one another in an intimate, related, organic way, right? So it's one whole body, all connected. They're not separate. We're not isolated. We're called to be together. But also look at the end of that language. As all that body's functioning together, they're caring for one another. They suffer when the other suffers, and they rejoice when the other's honored. So this isn't talking about being separate, like, oh, you suffer, that's kind of a bummer, but being so close and intimate with that person that as they're suffering, you're suffering with them. And as they're honored, you're rejoicing with them because you're so close. And so as an emphasis on personal ministry, what we're trying to call you into is into this life of connectedness, a life of union with Jesus and union with his body. It's a life of giving yourself to the church so that you can have this relationship, that you are serving your purpose as your hand, the eye, the nose, and you're doing it connected to the body in a such a way that you can care about one another and you suffer with them and you rejoice with them, okay? So that's what we're trying to stir us up to here. So then lastly, as a part of introduction, who then should be engaged in this work of ministry? Who is this talking about? If we look at this language of the body, look at some of the scriptural references, who should be doing this kind of work? Who should be ministering in this kind of way? Alan? Members of the body. So the only point I want to make there, this is not about, oh, let's sit back and relax and let the pastors go do this. This is saying all the members are engaged to do this. And we're going to come back and touch on that point again later. But that's the main idea. I want us all to be engaged. As we're thinking through this today, today's going to be kind of the practical side of the lesson. As we're thinking through all these practical things of how to do this, I don't want you to think this is somebody else. I want you to think, how can I engage to do this? How can I serve Christ and serve the church in this way?
And, well, we just made that point from the body members caring for one another, so they all need to care for each other, but to tie in the sister verses in Ephesians
4, yep.
That each part of the body doing its part, all tied together and under the head.
Right.
So, certainly that every part of the body is needed and needs to do its part.
That's exactly right. Right. We're all building one another up in unity of the faith. We're all being called to engage. And so this is a call to engage. Engage in the Christian life in a way that maybe some of us have gotten separated from. We don't think about the Christian life as really investing in one another and finding ways to invest in one another. And that's what we're going to try to call us to. So this is practical. And I'm going to be asking for your ideas of examples as we go through some of this. This isn't a whole lot of material to cover, and we have plenty of time. So I want us to talk and think about this. How can we think about it? How can we personally engage in this kind of ministry? So first, let's think of, if you look at your outline, some suggested approaches for personal ministry. And this is just trying to whet our appetite to think, how can we do this? Now the first, number one there, is fellowship generally with the men and women in the church. So get to know folks. Now, if we're going to, we want to encourage spiritually intentional relationships. That's what we're going to be talking about. But to do that, you have to enter into just normal relationships. You just have to get to know people. I mean, have people in your homes, see what they like, talk to them, and get to know them as people, and build those just general relationships from the foundation of who you are in Christ. You already have Christ in common, so start getting to know one another. Have people in your homes. I know Chuck Volo has several times encouraged hospitality, going through the directory, inviting families into your homes just to generally get to know people. And as you do that, you may find people that you have some particular connection with, some commonality that you can start building on. I say, well, this might be a good person for me to try to step into this type of real personal ministry. So as you get to know one another, look for those people that you might have some connection with to build on. Some relationships will be more profitable and others less so. And this is this is a reality in the church. You're going to have people in the church that you're closer with that you find are more helpful to you, or you find you're more helpful to them. God's blessing that. That shouldn't be a bad thing. Look for those relationships and see where God might bless you in the church. So starting there, just generally fellowshipping, we want to look to establish spiritually intentional relationships. And I'm going to give you three kind of categories. As we think through all these examples, you can think of these three categories. And you should all fit into one of these three categories. And one category is you feel like you have a need and you need a mentor. And so you are the mentee and you need a mentor. Maybe that's you. You're a young person. You want an older person to come alongside you and pour their life into you and grow. That's a good relationship. Or maybe you're an older person. You've walked with the Lord for a while, and you feel like that you see some young people, and you want to pour your lives into them. Well, then you're the mentor, and you're able to pour your life into a younger person, mentor to mentee. Or, and alongside of all this, you have a peer relationship. You just have another brother that you respect, that you just want to get beside him and get to know him or her, and you want to build each other up. And so you have those three relationships. So now everyone in this room can fit into one or more of those categories. You can be a mentor to somebody, you can be mentored by somebody, or you can come along beside a peer and build them up to strengthen them, iron sharpening. And yeah, Chuck, go ahead.
I was just going to say, even in the mentor-mentee relationship, I think I've mentioned it before, but I've always been struck by Paul's comment in Romans 1, 11, and 12. Here he is, the apostle. You think he's got everything to give and nothing to receive, but he says, "For I long to see you, you Roman Christians, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established." But he doesn't stop there. Mm. He says, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Amen. So even the apostle saw he had something to receive. And I know in my experience of meeting with younger men, I hope I impart something, but I receive an awful lot. Yes. I am blessed by them. So just a reminder that even with a mentor-mentee, it's always a two-way street. We always have something we need to receive.
Yeah, amen. And isn't that right? Whenever you're pouring yourself out into someone else's life, you're automatically going to be getting blessings back. As that person grows your blessing, they're going to be giving spiritual insight to you. And just the reality that at some point as you're learning something, you get sort of get to a plateau. But if you have to turn around and teach that to somebody else, you begin to learn that in a rich and new way. That's just a wonderful way for you to take those truths and internalize them into your own life, is when you're turning around and teaching them to somebody else. So everyone here is engaged. Everyone here is one of these categories or more of these categories. So now let's think through, what are some examples of these relationships? What might some of these relationships look like? Or number three, the relationships might be initiated based on what? Now, I want to focus again on the word intentional. So what we're thinking about is spiritually intentional relationships. And a lot of times, depending on your personality, it's easy to have a relationship, and it always goes back to the same things. You talk about sports, you talk about politics, you talk about your families. And that's fine. Those are good things to have and to talk about. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about having spiritually intentional relationships. These are relationships with the intention of talking about Jesus and Jesus in your life and encouraging the other person's spiritual walk and having your spiritual walk encouraged. So you're intentional. So part of that, maybe that helps, is when you sit down with somebody and say, "I would like to have this, get together with you for lunch to do this, to have this relationship, to go over this book or to think through this thing." And that helps set the expectation. This is a spiritually intentional relationship. You have Sandy?
Something that's just kind of pop it out here. I find that when I think the Holy Spirit starts it. Mm. I think that's like number one, because if somebody's on your mind over and over again, I firmly believe it's Holy Spirit, because then just go check on them, and that might be the prompting for all of them.
Sure. So God's working in the church, and he might be just bringing someone to mind and say, "This is a good person for you to have a relationship with." And I would think we should just be willing to not be isolated, but to say, "Let's reach out. Let's talk. Let's say hello. And let's try to build up some of these relationships." Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that's exactly right.
The Holy Spirit's not going to do it.
Right. So they're calling us into that relationship, and we need to take the step to say, "I want to do this. I want to read the Bible with you. I want to pray with you for a spiritually intentional." That's what we're going to be focusing on. That's exactly right. So what might some of these relationships be initiated on? So you're thinking about people, who might I have this kind of relationship? Well, let's just think through some of those examples. Maybe you might see a young person or someone's put on your heart, a young person that you feel like they just really need some help. You love them, they're a brother or sister in Christ, but you feel like maybe they're just getting started and you're thinking back all of your life and how God has taught you and given you wisdom and you've learned from all of your mistakes and you're thinking, well, you young couple, we have several young couples in the church now, they're just getting married. I made so many mistakes when I was just getting married. I want you not to make those mistakes. So I'm going to come alongside you and help impart some of what the Lord taught me over all these years so maybe you wouldn't make the same mistakes I made. So you see a young believer and you want to encourage them. Or maybe if you're a young person, you're just starting out and God has given you unusual wisdom and you think, wow, I really need an older person to help me along. And you think, wow, I could use some of this wisdom. I'm going to start out. I really don't know what to do. I don't know how to budget my money. I don't know how to think through my time. I just need someone to come alongside me and help me be wise and apply scriptural principles to all of my life. So I'm going to look for a wiser, older person. Maybe that's a good person that I can find to and ask them, can I get together with you once a month and just talk about these things? Or maybe you're a peer in a similar life situation. Now, what would that kind of look like? If you're a peer, it's easy to think older, younger, younger, older. But now, think of what are some peer relationships? What if you're different times of life, what would that kind of look like?
Kelly? Like young moms or moms with young children is really to be able to encourage.
Right, so they can very easily sympathize with those particular struggles, come alongside you. So moms with young children, that's a peer relationship that may be very helpful.
Moms with older children.
Moms with older children. Moms in general, just getting together, inviting one another in each other's lives.
Dads.
Yeah, yeah, you have your peers, and you have maybe your men that work, and your life is working all day, and you're in a work situation that's not at all spiritual, and all day you feel like you're dry, but if you can take one lunch a week to say, I'm going to get together with another brother who works within 30 minutes of me, we're going to meet in the middle 15 minutes apart just so we can get together and pray and encourage one another spiritually. You're peers. You're not going to look for something from him except for it to be a brother in Christ to you and to pray with you and to talk about spiritual things. So this, you have these peer relationships. So take a lunch. Take a lunch and go drive see somebody once a week and say, this is going to be my oasis in the middle of my work week where I'm going to meet with somebody and we're going to talk about spiritual things. And do it intentionally. Don't just say, let's get together. Let's say, I'm going to get together to read the Bible with you and pray with you. Christy? Yep, amen. And that's going to be on our list a little bit longer. My wife's so smart, she gets ahead of me. She knows that's excellent. So that's some of what we're saying here has to do with these going to be overlapping. But yeah, your peers on the same, there's some similarity. You're the same age. You're looking at each other's peers. But how about you have same spiritual interests? Now, this has maybe David's comments of evangelism. You have a brother and you're both really eager to evangelize. Or you're interested in evangelizing, but you don't feel like you're very good at it, and you see a brother you think is really good at it, you're going to have a relationship with that person with a spiritual interest to evangelize and go out. Or you have a spiritual interest in some other aspect, that you're really into prayer and you want to pray better, so you want to get with somebody you feel would help you pray better, and you just to pray together. Or you're learning some doctrines of the Bible, and you see somebody else who has the same interest as you talk and interact. You've been reading about that too? Union with Christ is a big deal to you too? Why don't we get together? There's this great book I'm thinking about. Let's read this book on union with Christ together, and it will just encourage us and just encourage one another because you're building one another up. Shared struggles. I think this is what Christy had in mind. All these things, doesn't this come down to being open with one another? I mean, not being so closed off that nobody could know what your spiritual interests are or so closed off what your struggles are. If you actually have a relationship with people in general that they actually know in some of the things that you're struggling with, and if a few people you've gotten close to that actually know the sins you're struggling with, you come alongside, well, I've really struggled with that too. I know we've had this relationship, and I just noticed that you've mentioned this a few times. I had that problem, and I'm still struggling with that. And God's given me a lot of grace, but I'm still struggling. I would really appreciate just getting together and praying with you once a month, and we'll talk about this, and maybe this is a good book that was useful to me in that struggle. and I want to work with you, and let's try to help each other to stay pure, or help each other in our laziness, or help each other with our time management. We struggle. So it calls us to be open so we can know what one another's struggles are, so we can actually have these kinds of relationships and see these kinds of problems. Or we have spiritual gifts in common. So what would be some examples of someone who having spiritual gifts in common that you could get together with spiritual gifts that are similar? David?
Just Bible study, like in Free State, okay, where a bunch of the men or women get together and, you know, discuss the Bible to these kids, lost kids.
Right, so they probably have similar spiritual gifts. But what I'm thinking of is looking in the Bible and finding one or two guys and think, I have the same gift. We're going to get together just for the purpose of exploring that gift together to see how we can be more gifted in the church. I think that's Free State is actually using those gifts, right, in the church, and that's excellent as well. But how can we encourage those other gifts?
Men who could be women as well, but I'm thinking men who might have a teaching gift. I know for a season my son in Texas got together with some other brothers who believed they had a calling to teach and preach, and they would preach to each other and then critique each other.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit more intense than
sure
most would do, but it, you know, it's a similar gift.
Right, and
let's test our gift against each other.
Right, and we have the access to the, was it the Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary. We have access to all of their classes now, right? So anybody in the church who wants to can get to another brother or by yourself, but within the context now, let's talk about getting together with a brother or sister, two ladies together, just to do a class together. Once a month, you're going to get together and listen to a lecture and then talk about it. And those are free. The whole church is available to all the church. David, I owe you some information about this. But as you are interested about, let's look at what classes are available, and you can do that with a brother and say, I have a gift, and this class might be helpful to us, and want it to be cool to just go through it together and learn together and grow together. And Mike?
Gifts of helps or serving, you see a need, can be men too, but ladies often see someone who needs to be ministered to between the ladies, maybe with helping with children or whatever it might be. And
yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. And then, you know, I know Chuck Davies on once a month is going to the nursing home and just to interact. And you have a heart, you know, to encourage and you say, well, maybe I can be a brother. I can get engaged in that too. And in that ministry, I can try to help use my gift and use it with a brother and doing it with somebody. We're going to go help somebody. Or maybe you're going to do your own thing. I feel like I want to be used to minister mercy. I have my friend over here. I'm not sure I'm bold enough to go ask the nursing home if I can just go there and see how I could be useful. But if I have my brother to come along with me or my sister to come along with me, maybe that we can do it together and we can build that relationship on some spiritual gift. So lots of ways that you can do this and you can look for this. If you have a special burden of concern, that, I mean, to me it seems like you have a friend and you've heard them pray at prayer meeting or you've talked to them and they have this burden for the work in China or they have this burden for inner city. And you just want to get together and let's get together for 6 months and just pray for this because I just have this connection with you. Let's just talk about it and spend serious time praying about it. You have this burden. So you get together and pray one another. You build these relationships. And what I'm trying to show, all these different varieties of ways can draw you into these relationships that are spiritually intentional. And all those different ways, it's not that this is just something you do. This is God calling you into ministry. This is how you serve one another. And this is how God builds you up so that you can be useful in the church. So this isn't like a little checkbox. Okay, now I'm going to do, Paul up here is telling me I have to do personal ministry now. So I'm going to check that off to make sure that I'm meeting the standard. No, it's just saying this is a good thing for us. This is how we express those one another love. So it calls us in to ministry, to loving one another. And while we're going through this kind of examples, I want you to see how this can connect to your life. It's not just out there, somebody else, but this connects to all of us. We have a few more. You have similar backgrounds. So sometimes having a similarity helps. You know, and maybe if you've never had a kind of relationship like this, it'll be easier to start someone with whom you have a lot of similarity. But the goal of this is not just to find people that we're similar with. Because everyone in this room who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter how different you are, the most important thing to your life in your life is the same with every other believer in the world. And that is you are in union with Jesus Christ. And so maybe begin with similar relationships because that's easier, but build out. Look for where you can find connection with people that you don't have almost anything at all in common except you both love Jesus. And you want to get together with that person to read the Bible and encourage each other in your walk with Jesus. That's the goal, is to get to the point where you're in spiritually, intentionally, having spiritual, intentional relationships with people in the body because you both love Jesus and you both can help each other love Jesus. However God's gifted you in all these different myriad of different ways. You see acute needs in a brother or sister's life. I think that's pretty clear. You see someone who really is struggling, really having problems. They're just really down. Life is really overwhelming. The kind of person you come alongside of. Let me just bring lunch to your house and come and pray with you for once a week to just be a help to you. Or let me come take you out to lunch once a week, brother. And I'm going to pay, and we're going to sit together, and we're just going to be together. And I'm going to go through some scripture that's just really encouraging scripture of what Jesus can do in your life. There are a few more here. I think we've covered all of these here. So these are kind of things that you might base your relationship on. Dave?
One of the things that I've enjoyed throughout the years, it actually started from doing evangelism explosion years ago, is the idea of prayer partners. Mm. That's something that EE encouraged. And it's a way to get together where you don't even really have to necessarily have a particular thing that you know we're going to get together for, like in terms of a spiritual interest or a similar burden. But through the process of praying together, they would encourage you to find a prayer partner for 6 months and pray together. And through that process of sharing, you find areas of common interest and common struggle and so on. So that's been a helpful thing, and I've maintained that over the years with different folks. And I've just found that to be a good way even to open up the door for this kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Praying once a week.
That's right. You don't know maybe where God would use you, or maybe you feel like I don't know what I'm gifted with. I don't even know how I'm going to be useful in the church. But you can get together and pray with somebody. And then through that kind of relationship, who knows what the Lord might open up to show you where your heart's really engaged, or show you how you can really bless another brother or sister. So build those relationships, try, reach out, and maybe that's a good place to start. Maybe that's the best place to start. Let's get together and pray with somebody and just see how that can look in your life. So number four here, so you've gotten to know somebody, you've looked around, you feel a few people out. Maybe you want to have some relationships. So invite them into to an informal breakfast or lunch. Invite them just to talk informally. Maybe you want to start this relationship, but you don't know how. Well, invite them into your house. Or invite them to lunch. Take a first step just to see. And then the whole goal of that discussion is, hey, I want you to enter into this relationship with me. I want to pray with you. Do you think you get together once a week? Or is that too much? Once a month? What would work for you? And just be open, but invite them into your life. If everyone would take one step towards one person, all this net would be cast over the congregation of these relationships starting to form. And then as that happens, you realize, wow, this is great. I'm meeting with this guy on this week, and then this guy on this week, and this is great. And the net gets cast, so that we have these relationships starting to build throughout the congregation. Number five gives us some examples of some goals. Consider committing to meet on a regular basis with a spiritually intentional goal. All right, so you have all these needs, some way of connecting. You've gotten together. What is the goal of that meeting? And it probably could put first there, like David, I think, rightly thought, prayer would be the first meeting. Maybe let's get together just to pray for several weeks. Let's just pray together. You know, this is also the thing we've been thinking about, prayer in the church and prayer meeting, corporate prayer meeting. Let's say you're a guy and you really struggle praying. You know, you go to a prayer meeting, but you're just, I can't stand up and pray. I feel like I'm really struggling. I just feel like I can't do that. Wouldn't it be good maybe to get one other fellow and say, it's kind of embarrassing. It's just stupid. But I really don't like praying in front of people. And I just feel like I stutter, and I just really struggle with that. Would you get together with me just so we can pray together? And I'm going to tell you that's what I do. I stutter. I can't think of the right words. I'll probably say something that'll sound like heresy. And it's just, But I just want to do it. I want to practice it. And would you do that with me? And you get somebody you trust and say, I just want to get together, and we're just going to pray out loud together for 15 minutes just so I can have an opportunity to do this. And then if I see something that sounds like heresy, I'm not a heretic. Could you just tell me, brother, that sounds like heresy? Or that actually is heresy. You should not say that. But you're open, you're loving, you're honest, and you can help each other, right? Because, maybe we do struggle with that. Let's find that need. I want to pray together with one another. Or maybe, as we talked about having you're struggling with some sin, having mutual accountability. Let's say you're you're a young person, you're struggling with getting your time, using your time rightly, I keep wasting all my time. Well, get together with another brother and say, look, let's hold each other accountable. Let's say, how did you use your time this week? What did you do? And what value is that? And just talk about it once a week. What does my time look like? I just keep wasting money. I don't even know where it goes, but I just keep wasting my, I'm not honoring God with my money. We'll get together and say, let's look at the Bible about what it says about money, and let's get together and look at how we're spending our money, and let's be honest, open our lives to one another. Say, look, could you help me really think about this? And maybe that would, I mean, if someone would look at my bank saying, you really spent all your money on this? This is what you did? Maybe I would think, wow, maybe that isn't really good. Maybe I should think about this more carefully. Maybe I could honor God better with my money. So hold each other accountable. Obviously, you're struggling with sexual sin in our culture, in our context. I mean, it is just everywhere. It is just everywhere. So holding one another accountable. Say, I want to come alongside you to hold each other accountable to purity, to live before the Lord. We talked about mentoring older to younger, sharpening one another as peers. Your goal is to sharpen one another. You can do that so many different ways. Some of these here, we have some examples. Doing a Bible study. And now sometimes I think we make Bible studies too big of a deal. We feel like I have to show up with a million cross references and all these notes. Well, maybe just show up and say, look, let's just read through this book together. And we're going to read through, you know, this paragraph, and then we're going to talk about it. Maybe you have a study Bible with you. You have your Reformation study Bible, your ESV study Bible, or whatever. And so maybe they'll help with some notes, but let's just talk about what the Bible is saying to us. I don't have to have something deep and personal. Just try to be accurate.
I think this is helpful because I think that's a really good point. In a relationship I've just recently had for some more than a year, and it's now pretty much wound down, but the young man and I didn't have time to prepare anything formal, and we just decided to read through the epistles and try to figure out what's God describing the Christian life to be like.
Mm.
So let's just, what's the Christian life about? What's it look like?
Mm.
And we would just take a chapter or two, we would assign it to each other, and we would, sometime during the week or two that between meetings, we would just read through it and, you know, write down whatever thoughts came to mind. Just nothing formal, nothing organized, just literally running commentary.
Mm.
And we both do it. And then when we would get together, we'd read through it, and each of us would look at our notes that we made, and, oh, he'd bring up this, and I'd bring up that.
Mm.
So neither of us is putting in a great deal of time. It was very edifying, and I think helped to establish him and what God was expecting of him in his life.
Yeah. Did everybody hear that back there? Just informally reading the Bible with one another. What does this sound like? If it sounds like I have to have my 3-point outline and I have to have these cross references, that sounds like I'm putting on a kind of a face, right? I'm gonna be the guy and you're gonna be my student. But we're talking about friends. We're talking about members of the body, one with another, who are just in each other's lives. So I'm not trying to be the guy. We're gonna sit down together and read the Bible together and learn from the scriptures together. So try to put some of those ideas of what you think you have to be down and just try to be honest with one another and say, where are you in your walk? What can you do together as you read the Bible together, humbly together? There are so many Christian books that are good for where you are in the Christian life. And there's myriads and myriads of really, really bad books, and so let's try to avoid those. But if you have a book that you've gone through that's really helpful, then it's really good to go through that again with somebody else. You've already gone through it, and how much you'll learn it so much better as you read through it with somebody else and gain from them as they're enjoying the truths that you were able to discover as you did that. So go through things you've done before. And then we talk about spiritual projects. You're going to the nursing home, doing evangelism, serving or ministering. You join into a project together. Sometimes you feel like, you know, you want to be engaged in some kind of ministry, but you just don't know what to do. So instead of just sitting alone, talk to a brother or sister and say, you know, I have this interest of being useful. Do you have any ideas? Where do you think we could do this? And would you be willing one Saturday a month to go with me and we'll try and do this? And see what you can do. See what God would use to bring you into a ministry in a way that you have not been used before. There's a couple other things you put on here. Occasionally do something fun and recreational. Remember, this is drawing us into a life together. Where you have spiritually intentional relationships. Doesn't mean that's all you do with the people in the body of Christ. We get together, all we're going to do is these things. But no, open your lives to one another. If you enjoy going to the park and throwing the frisbee, or you enjoy kinds of movies, try bringing one another into our lives. Share those things that are fun in our lives. And then being in one another's home, being hospitable. I mean, these are the goals of these relationships. Being in one another's lives, welcoming them into your life, being open and honest, so that as the members of the body, we can actually minister to one another. We can be used by God to bless one another, and that we can and be blessed.
As we're going through this, I'm finding it helpful also to think about the husband-wife relationship and the parent-child.
Mm.
Because I wouldn't assume that everybody's being spiritually intentional there, but there's a lot of fruit that can come out of that, and it can serve as the basis for a lot of fruitfulness then as those relationships outside of those realms are impacted.
Yeah.
Think through this in those contexts.
Yeah.
Very helpful.
Right. So if you have a peer relationship, if you're married, you have a peer relationship in your home, right? And this should be your closest peer relationship, and trying to turn to that to be a spiritually intentional relationship, so you're able to engage in that relationship and with your children as a mentor to mentee. This is fertile ground for these kinds of relationships that from there should blossom into our other relationships. Thank you, Rob.
Yeah,
Chuck?
Just building on that for a second, I mean, it just reminds us that this is something we're all called to do. Mm. And many are married, and if you're married, you're quite apart from this. You are called into spiritually intentional relationship with spouse and with children.
Yeah.
So it just reinforces the fact that this is not something that other people do who have maybe a more verbal gift.
Mm.
No, most of us, well, everyone's called to it, but especially if you're married. You have responsibility to spouse and to children. Just reinforcing that.
Yeah.
Not optional.
Yeah, and I mean this love that we're called to, you know, this love is so real and so good. It's a love of Jesus, all right? It's not just out there. I'm gonna talk about whatever, but I want to encourage someone. I want to encourage myself in my walk with the Lord, because this is the best thing. The best part of our lives is our relationship with Jesus. We're trying to share ourselves and encourage other people. We want to encourage the best thing and encourage that in ourselves, this best thing, with our spouse, with our children, with our friends, with the members of the body. The best thing is our relationship with Jesus. So we want to focus on these spiritually intentional relationships. So the number six there, I think this is just a broad point. We want to share our lives with one another. We've talked about that, I think, again and again and again. You have 1 Thessalonians 2:8. Where Paul is saying that he not only shared the gospel, but he shared his own life. And that's what we're talking about. We're sharing lives with one another. And then I added here in verse number 7, we're thinking mainly like one-on-one kind of relationships, but it may be that you've never done this. You never had a kind of one-on-one relationship with somebody that was really spiritually intentional, and you feel inadequate. Well, then maybe find a guy you think is good at it and say, let's have a relationship with you, or let's bring a third person in and the three of us get together and we'll read the Bible together, us three, and for the purpose of you learning how to do this better. And so it doesn't have to be you're taking the weight on yourself. Part of it is just saying, I want to be in these relationships. I don't know what it's going to look like. I want it to be spiritually intentional. I'm going to put that up front when I'm talking. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know that I'm particularly gifted at doing this, but I think you are. So would you meet with me and let's do something? Let's go over a book of the Bible and I'll feel like, so I can grow. And maybe I can mature in this area when I maybe have never done this before. So if you feel scared about doing it, let's not go back into our shell. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But let's find somebody. Let's trust one another. Let's love one another. Let's step out of that fear and get into one another's lives so that we can have these kinds of relationships. So those are some suggested approaches to personal ministry. Does anybody have anything else? I think we've covered a whole lot of suggested ideas, but if I just have missed something and it's you think is something we should think about, definitely would be open to other avenues. We're pretty comprehensive. Okay. And then I have there are two categories this is one list, I broke this up into two lists of hindrances to personal ministry. One is kind of corporate hindrances. What are some things we can do in our church that can make this harder or have a culture that makes this harder? And the first is a culture of pastors doing all the ministry. In Ephesians 4:11, and Murray, this is right around the area where you were talking, it says, Christ gave to the church some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. So it's not giving the pastors to do all the work, but to equip the saints so that we would, as saints, be ministering one to another. Now, do you guys see all yourselves as saints? You understand that means all of you. It's not some person out there that's really good Christian, but the saints are the holy ones, the ones that God has called out of the world and the ones that God is making holy. That's all of you who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the pastors are to be building you up so that you would minister, equipping you so that you would minister, so that you would do this work. So one hindrance is if we have a culture that we think, or in our own minds, we think the pastor should be doing this work. This isn't for me to do. This is the pastor's work. That's a hindrance for this. A second hindrance is too much time given to unfruitful church activities. Now, we don't have a lot of activities in our church right now, but this is an idea where we need to be aware of those activities. If we're doing stuff for the church, if we feel like something's not fruitful anymore, maybe it's time to stop putting our energy there. We want to have time in our lives so that people can get together and minister one-on-one. And that's something for us just as a church to be aware of. Where are we getting bang for our buck spiritually for what we're doing? And in Mebane, not recently, they've had for I think almost 10 years something called Mom's Coffee Connection, and they were once a month they were serving coffee to moms in the area, and they're evangelizing, and it God blessed it for 10 years, but by the end they actually stopped it this year because they finally decided that it took so many people to do it, and they really weren't getting that many visitors anymore. It was mostly other Christian people in the area. And it was good, it was worth something, but it wasn't worth all the work that it took, and they wanted to put their time into other things. And they were able to evaluate that and think, you know what? We don't keep doing something perpetually because we've always done it. Let's be sensible. Let's be thoughtful about what we're doing and really evaluate, is this good? And I think we should keep that sort of ethos in our church. Let's keep evaluating what we're doing. There are core things. God calls us to gather together, to preach and to sing and to pray. We're always going to do those things. But as we try to find ways to impact our community, we're always going to be looking. Is this valuable? Is this doing what it's supposed to be doing? Is this where we should be investing our time? Because we do want to have time to have these relationships. And the third corporate hindrance is that we're not seeing the value of these kind of relationships. If our context, if our church, we have a sense of, well, I come to church on Sunday and that's my Christian life. I don't see any value in getting together with one another. That's a problem. If that's the culture, that's a problem. So what can we do to help avoid these hindrances? One of the pastors should be equipping. They'd be encouraging you to do this work. We should be evaluating. And also, we should be teaching. This is important. This is not just the pastor's work. This is not just some peripheral thing we're called to do, but this is central to the Christian life, loving one another. This is giving you opportunity to love one another in this way. So we're to teach, to talk, to pray, to help avoid these hindrances.
Well, there's one more thing that pastors can do, and that's to model it.
Yes.
And when they model it, they have to talk about it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it seems like, you're bragging, you're talking about this and that relationship. It's important for the people to see that their pastors are touching people's lives because that modeling, that example is caught.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Yeah. Yes, we'll actually talk that a little bit at the very, very end. We'll go a little bit more to what the pastor's going to be doing. But that's the first thing. Yes, the pastors need to be modeling this as an example to help that hindrance. So now these are some possible individual hindrances. So you're sitting here and you're thinking, wow, this sounds really great, but maybe one of these things is true about you. Maybe you lack spiritual vitality in your own life, so you have nothing to give. So you come to church, maybe you pray at home, but you feel like it's dead. You read your Bible, but it's boring. It's all right, I don't have anything to give. I'm just sort of washed out right now. Maybe that's who you are. Maybe you are so consumed with, you have so much going on in your own life, you're so busy with your own pursuits that you really don't have time to engage in anybody else. Your whole life is wrapped around yourself. You've wrapped your life up with everything that's all about you, so you don't have any relationship, any time for any relationship. Or maybe you have a false humility. I've got nothing to offer. I've got nothing to offer. Or maybe we're lazy And I don't want to face this. I don't want to try to do something new. I don't want to try to get involved with somebody's life. My life's hard enough. Why do I want to get in somebody else's life? Why do I want to deal with their mess? Or you lack a hunger to grow. A lot of this would be connected. If you're dead spiritually, you're probably not very interested in growing, or you're prideful, you're not teachable. You really don't have any interest in getting together with somebody because you don't think they have anything to offer you. Well, just think of all the different categories of people. You have your mentor to mentee, mentee to mentor, peer to peer. Look, let's say that you're the person you feel spiritually dead. You don't have anything to give. Wouldn't that be a good time to find a mentor that you think you really just seem vibrant in your spiritual life? And maybe you don't think so, but I see you and I hear you and the way that you just interact with Scripture. I would like to have that. I don't have that right now. My Scripture reading has been really boring lately. Would you get together with me once a week and help me with that? Would you encourage me in that? You know, I haven't been hungry, and I've lost what it is to be hungry. You know, but I am a Christian. I want it. I don't feel it right now, but I see you're a person who really has the word in your heart. It's in your mouth. It seems to be in your mind all the time. Would you get together with me? And just to go over this, I want to be hungry again. I want to have this. So instead of saying this is a hindrance for these relationships, shouldn't be that which is compelling us into these relationships. This is how God is calling me, or maybe calling someone else in your life to help you where you're struggling, to help you in your lack of spiritual growth, to help you. So don't allow this to be a hindrance. Allow this to propel you into those relationships. If you feel like you're lazy, let's be honest, Christian. Look at your life. Are you lazy? Well, then look at somebody you feel like is really living the Christian life well. Maybe you've prioritized your life, and it's a mess. I've prioritized my life, and it's all about me. I don't want that. I see you've prioritized your life, and you're about serving others, and I want that. I look at the Bible, and that's what I see. And I don't see that in my life. I see that in your life. Would you get together with me? Would you work with me and help me look at how I've prioritized my life? Maybe some of this can't change, but maybe some of it can. Let's look at my life together. Let's be open to really serve one another in this way. So do you see how these hindrances can really propel us?
Diana? I'm just thinking that, you know, one thing I don't see on the list, even with pastors, ministry to the flock or to individuals, is that when we are going to share at a more intimate level, it needs to be safe.
Mm.
And so, say, for example, well, just take a gross example. If you take David and that you look at his sin of adultery and murder, how would we react to him? And then when all is said and done, God consistently says he's a man after my own heart. Mm. Except, and then he'll make an exception clause except the time.
Mm.
And so when we, I know I test waters as far as how transparent I'll be with a person. And so if I feel like if I expose a weakness and then I have tire treads all over me and a smashed nose, you know, I'm not going to do that anymore.
Yeah.
And so a tremendous amount of grace and wanting to know a person's heart. Are they a person that have weaknesses but don't want to stay with the weaknesses? Are they a person who, when they're receptive to wanting to get out of those or whatever, is really needs to, a tremendous amount of grace needs to permeate the relationship between pastor and people to people.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it just will not happen.
Yeah, it's like self-righteousness. It's like safe.
You know, and you know, you take the grossest example that I can think of where you see adultery and murder, and then you see God characterizing David throughout the scriptures as saying, a man after my own heart. I mean, if we meditate on that, how would that change?
Mm. Yeah. Don?
He had all these problems, but you know, the real heart of it was he was going through these trials because of his righteousness.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like if you're going to be a Job's friend to somebody, like, you're not going to find a problem here.
Yeah.
You're missing it.
Right, exactly. Andrew, did you have a comment?
Just thinking along the lines of individual hindrances to personal ministry, opening yourself up like that to someone leaves a lot of opportunity for gospel.
Yes. Amen. Isn't that helpful? Right. So all these things all line up, but if we want to have these relationships, one of those hindrances is this self-righteous, I don't have any problems, but I'm sure glad to help you with your problems. Or I see all your problems because I'm the guy that's going to fix all your problems. Or you're opening your heart, well, I'm just going to lay it down. You're struggling with laziness. Well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to get together, and I'm going to make you not lazy, and we're going to fix it all. Well, okay, let's have grace. And let's all see that everyone in this room, you've been sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ, and everyone in this room is a sinner that's deserving to go to hell for the way you've sinned today already, okay? So that's who we are. So let's be open and honest about that. Let's do it with grace. Let's receive one another's words. Let's enter into those relationships with grace, not in a way that I'm just going to, like, you tell me something, and I'm going to tell you all that God has interpreted that to mean. God means this for you, and God means this for you, and that's what this. Well, let's be kind. Let's be gracious. Let's see what God is doing, and let's not talk about one another. Gossip is a wicked, wicked, wicked thing. And if we have a culture of gossip or self-righteousness, it's going to destroy this. There's going to be nothing. There's no way that you can have these kind of relationships because everyone's so scared to share anything because it's unsafe. So that was very, very helpful. Thank you very much for those additions. I have some encouragements. We're going to be out of time, so we're not going to go over these. Some encouragements for ministry. These are just things to think about to help. What is life about? These are really, really blanket. Just from last week's sermon, we have great works to do, so let's do them. Jesus is in us to do those works. For 1 Peter 4, the end of all things is near. This is not it. Eternity is it. This is the end of all things is near. So let's focus on what's most important. This is love one another fervently and being hospitable. And then you have Philippians 2, you'll be humble, don't think of yourself too highly. And then Romans 12, 1 and 2, to present our bodies as living sacrifices. If this is a struggle for us, life is all about me, I don't want to get into the lives of these other sinner people, they're just so irritating, annoying. Let's remember, God, Jesus is calling us to take our whole bodies and put us on the fire. We got to stay on the sacrifice. It's not about us. We're to be giving ourselves up over to serve the body of Christ, to serve Jesus in that way. We have the role of the pastors there. I think this is pretty straightforward. I don't know if we need a lot of talk about that. But we do need to be examples. We need to be examples of this ministry, schedule the church life so we can have these relationships. We do want to serve as resources. We want to help people to do this. We want to encourage and facilitate this. We want you to do this organically. That means that we want you to just be thinking about people and building these relationships. If you're struggling with doing that, you say, I need a mentor. I don't know who to talk to. You can talk to Pastor Chuck Volo or Chuck Davies or talk to me. We'll try to connect you with somebody. And we'll try to facilitate this. We don't want this to be a program. We're not making this the discipleship program for New Life. We don't want that. We want you to take this into your heart and say, this is what Christian life is, living with one another. So I'm gonna find the time to have this relationship in my life with somebody else in the body of Christ and start building that connectedness. So we're going to be talking about this and maybe make this as application for sermons and things like that, but try to bring it before you. This really is central to the Christian life, and we want you to be doing it and engaging in it for your good and for the good of this church and for the glory of Jesus Christ. All right, well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your church. We thank you, God, that you are our God and that you have put us together and that we can be here together and we can serve one another and serve you and love one another. So, God, I pray you would give us hearts of love, that you would shower us with your grace, that in that grace we would give grace to those who are around us, that this would be a safe place for us to love one another and to be open with one another and to encourage one another and to help one another, to build each other up so that your church would fill all the world and that in our little place that you've given us, that we would fill all that you've given us to fill. For your glory, Father, and for the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much.